Well, they're finding that. I did want to mention something that Janet gave to me. It was a verse this week. I don't know if you keep tuning in to television and the radio, and you get more nervous and more nervous and more nervous the more you hear. And I'm thinking toward election day, maybe I'll listen less and less and less. But there was this wonderful verse that she gave me. It was found in Isaiah 33:6, and it says, "And he will be the stability of your times," that God will be the stability of our times. And amen to that, right? Yeah. I mean, we don't have to look to others to be our stability. We can look to God and trust him to be there for us. So we're going to look at this idea of purposes in our growth. The context here, we looked at last week. Our growth is meant to happen in the context of being equipped for some kind of service. And there's a key verse that we'll look at a little earlier. But some of the things that we had in these expressions already here this morning have to do the atmosphere, do with the atmosphere in which we grow and we mature in Christ. And that namely is love, and that is in unity. Paul says and encourages us to live a life worthy of the calling that we've received, and so be completely humble and gentle. When we're humble and gentle, that does a lot toward creating unity. When we're patient with each other, when we bear with one another in love. Verse 3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Talked a little bit last week about the Holy Spirit's job then. You can see here, the Holy Spirit's tasked with creating unity among people. And if we were to live out this verse, it means that we partner with the Holy Spirit of God in living out unity with each other. That if we resist that, if we resist that work of the Holy Spirit, then we cease to partner with what God is doing or trying to do among human beings. It should be better than what we're seeing in our world. It should be better than this rancor that we see in our world. And the Holy Spirit's intent is to help each of us draw on his help and in the bond of peace. Now let's take a look at some of the foundations for equipping. I call this the ground that I think, Camille, that you were talking about, where we are to be and believe and walk in the truth that God reveals to us. And Paul's basically addressing that in these verses 4-6. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in you all. So here's some basic concepts that are true about Christianity. And I don't know how he does it. He just compresses things that it takes the rest of the New Testament to tell you about into a sentence here. But he's talking about the Godhead that we call the Trinity. There's one Spirit. There is one Lord, that is Christ. One God and Father of us all. We're a people called by God to be a body. It is true, we are all one with the other. We're the family of God. The church is God's relational organization or organism, a living organism, where he pours out his Spirit of power, where he reconciles people to himself, and he reconciles people to each other. And then they go on in life together. And that, in a sense, if he's doing that, he's trying to reconcile us to him and us to each other, then some of us may actually need to get healed from a basic distrust in people. That could be part of what the Holy Spirit is creating in us. I don't know how you reference toward life. Just think about that. There could be a point, a spiritual growth point. Do you have a mindset, a set point that has a basic distrust toward people? This is a difficult one. This comes down to where we live, doesn't it? Sometimes it's true, trust is earned, but how else will we get on with each other if we don't begin to entrust our trust in others? If we don't try, so this is what we are meant to do. Relationally, we have to ask ourselves: am I always on the defensive with others? Am I always holding myself in check? Do I see the world and even the church from a negative, reserved position? Is my mindset, I'll take it with a grain of salt and just see how it works out? If that is our mindset, then we will miss out on a great deal of joy that's set before us about being the people of God. Some of those songs we sang were triumphal songs that rejoice in being the people of God. And that means that if we get healed a bit and entrust more, we'll have more delight in each other. If God delights in us, then we can share in his delight by delighting not only in him, but in each other. One of the things that I've noticed is that we're to be also a people of hope, to live together with each other. Shelley, some of your posts on Facebook breathe hope. They just do. Thank you for ministering that. I said to her this week, coming from her at this time with grief, her expressions of joy were very powerful and very moving to me. Christ is full of the fruit of hope, being in Christ, to be a new believer, to catch a glimpse of a relationship with Christ, that Christ is here. He stands with me. He stays with me. He transforms how I see life. I look at it from a brand new perspective. And this helps us. And this teaches us. It transforms all that we do in terms of relationship. It can transform every area of our lives. It can transform our relationships. Couples, friendships, relationships, where we have the patience to really listen to each other, to be more open to and understanding of each other, handling conflicts better, growing together spiritually. When we're in conflict, when we have differences, stopping to say, am I in control? Is the Holy Spirit in control of me right now? Am I receiving the help that's available to me, or am I just simply expressing my selfish interests? This context, the Church of Christ, is the place where we are in the school of the Holy Spirit. It's where we are meant to learn and to grow deeper with each other. So we are part of one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all. That has to do with the context, the content of the church. Martin Luther believed in the importance of the church because it was given life-giving truth. He said, for it is concluded that outside the Church of Christ, there is no God, no salvation, no grace. And there he's talking about this one Lord, Christ, the faith that he's given us, and one Father being over us all. There is some pretty fuzzy thinking about what it means to be a person of faith today. I remember hearing about a church that was supposed to be a Christian church, supposed, I say, it is in name, at least in name. They, in San Francisco, decided that they would do something different, and not that it wouldn't be good to have someone there who could inform you about the Jewish background of faith, but they put a rabbi on staff. And so someone said one day, how is it that you as a rabbi can manage this Christian context that you've been called to? And he said simply, as long as the church is unconventional, doesn't mention the word of Christ in its liturgy, and is concerned with people, not theology, I can be here. I understand that. But to me, you know, that begins to sound like it just guts the truth out of Christianity. But it becomes a social institution that we're not before this common Savior who created the forgiveness of sin for our brokenness. It's distinctly unique. And having died for us, he also rose and lives with us every day. And that dynamic that we know transforms our responses, that schools us in what we can be and should be and ought to do, schools us in the good life. That would be just missed in that kind of environment. So it's important to embrace that faith given to us, to stand in it. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. I'd like to then just take a look at another idea. And in this picture, can you tell with me what you think is the common thing between the astronaut, the scuba diver, and the rock climber? Yes? They have hope and faith that their equipment will sustain them. That came quick. That came so much quicker than for me. Go ahead.
Risk.
There is risk, okay. There's risk.
They're
adventurous. That's in common, held in common by them all. What's that? There could be a lack of oxygen.
They all need air.
They all need that air. They've been equipped, too. And their equipping is essential to what they're doing, isn't it? How'd you like to try that without any training? Any one of those, it would just be a mess to try to do without any training.
They might die.
They might die. Of course, some of us really like to do it without the instructions, don't we? We take the instructions out later. But there are things that are important for us in terms of our equipping, our training. And that's kind of where the next part of this text goes. Would you read with me together? There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Now that relates to what we're going to find in just a minute about equipping. That's the core of the Christian truth right there. But that's part of our equipping, becoming equipped so that we know the core of the Christian truth. Let's continue. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be prophets, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so the body of Christ might be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the full measure or fullness of Christ. Let's see here. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Any things stand out to you, or any questions appear in that reading of the word?
That was a big mouthful there.
It was a mouthful. It's a huge sentence. The only longer sentence of Paul is in the first chapter of this letter. It's a long sentence. Packed. Packed. Yes?
You cannot evolve into that.
You can't evolve into that, okay? And what does that imply then?
We need some help.
We need some help to be that. Absolutely. Spoken like somebody who's had problems with a ligament. You know, man, this in this reading and in this week, just looking at this text, I've been more drawn to that section about the ligaments, how they hold things together. And in the body of Christ, I know it must be that there are people in Christ's body that are part of holding things together. Because of their particular gifting and wiring. And the big question as believers in North America and the way we do church, do you know who those people might be? Do you know enough about each other as people to know who it is that kind of holds things together? Or as part of the body of Christ, let's just say, like a human body. You're part of the human body. Do you know how you're connected to other people and how desperately you need them? Without those ligaments, you can remember my shoulder would do this. That's about it. Try to raise my arm, I go like this. And that was it. So I don't know. That's been a reflection all this week, that ligament part for me. Any other thoughts or questions about the text that we have looked at so far?
I was thinking how the same Spirit that gives spiritual gifts for service, the whole purpose is to bring us to unity.
There again, it's to bring us to unity. And there are a number of things that happen, but they illustrate over and over again the purposes of God in my growth and preparation. I'm meant to be drawn into unity by the Holy Spirit. I am meant for that.
Probably growth and preparation and also healing and restoring as you go along.
As you go along, we're all in process. So there's growth, there's healing that I need. There's preparation that I need, restoration that I need. What else? I don't want to miss something because I thought that was very good, very important. To learn, to be built up in love. Essential.
Is to
Okay.
Outside of the body.
This body exists not just for itself, but for others as well. To be a reflection of something good happening for others, for the sake of others. Absolutely. That is, that's insightful, you know, in our attempts to become one in Christ and grow together in Christ, to check the buts, check the qualifiers, really, to check them and say, am I saying, but in this case, I won't do that because, and then that lets me move on. This much. Very good. The thing about this equipping that we've looked at, you may have to advance that up there, I'm not sure. We have this aim that we are meant to grow up in him, and it is a function of God's grace that we are in this thing at all. So with this theme of equipping that we're looking at, understand that being equipped as a follower of Christ is a function of grace. It is the Spirit of God pouring his grace out on you. And it's not just about you. It is how are you rightly related to the Holy Spirit? To that extent, he can pour himself through you, both for the benefit of others, for the benefit of this church, for the benefit of this community. It is by grace that we have this. Look in verse 7, at the beginning part of verse 7. It says, but to each one of us, grace has been given. And there he begins talking about and equipping grace rather than saving grace. This is the distribution of grace gifts that come from Christ's own hands, and he apportions it as he decides. So that is the work of God in us and through us, not something that we could lay claim to as our own. It is something that we have to depend upon God for it to matter. It is an intelligent, loving gift from Christ. This grace has been given as Christ has apportioned it. It is part of Christ's glorious victory seen in his death and his resurrection. Look, would you, with me at verses 7 and following. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why he says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train, and gave gifts to men. I mentioned in the service prior, in the previous part of the service, that there is a parade in the story. This is a parade right here. This is a parade. In ancient times, when a king was victorious in battle, he would gather up the spoils of his battle. And the spoils included those that he became his subjects. And there would be a big parade. And they would go from one place to the next, and people would celebrate the victory. But that's exactly what Christ is being depicted of here. He is a victor through his death and his resurrection. And as he rises from the grave, he's not only victor over death, but he's giving gifts to men. I don't know if any of you, I think it's Sense and Sensibility ends with the story of a man standing in a carriage at his wedding, and he takes gold coins and he throws the coins out like this to all the people who were part of the wedding party. He's just so full of happiness at the day of his wedding, so full of gratitude, he scatters wealth among the people. Well, that's the picture of this conquering Christ. He's celebrating what's happening. The church has begun. These are my people. We're in a big parade, and we're on our way to heaven. And I'm going to give all these people grace gifts so that from now till the time I see them face to face, they're going to be gifted with help from the Holy Spirit. They're going to be able to benefit each other. They're going to be able to minister to their communities. The image is a triumphant return from battle of the victorious and benevolent King. I'd like to ask our worship team if they would come forward. And we're going to sing a song that is kind of like that. It's going to be a song that celebrates God's goodness and triumphant victory. If they would you join me just in a word of prayer as we stand as well? Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word. Teach us to value your word and where you're leading us as your people. Teach us to number our days so that we attend to the things that are most important to you and most important for our sake as well. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Okay, this one's pretty. I think we're going to do it.